With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The ball was in, but Germany are out. World Cup chaos. Welcome to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betfair. It's Friday, the 2nd of December. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Well, 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 it was December the 1st and the World Cup was in absolute disarray. What a day of matches in Group E, where it all began, boys, didn't it? Where any team could still progress and any team could still go out. And it well and truly delivered, didn't it, Andy?
Didn't it just? There was a lot of flipping and a lot of flopping. It was very, very exciting. But I think the best bit about it is, like a lot of games during this World Cup, you couldn't have predicted at half time that what was going to happen was going to happen. And the World Cup's outdoing itself in every little group conclusion, isn't it?
It is. Japan, Spain, Costa Rica, Germany. When you looked at those four teams in this group, I think this was the group that was labelled as the group of death coming into the tournament, wasn't it? And when you looked at it, there is absolutely no one that would have predicted it would have ended the way it did, Pete. It's amazing.
No, and it was kind of, well, especially because
certainly in the second half, as I felt like the Japanese were sort of tiring in the Japan-Spain match, and I kind of felt with Germany getting the goals in the other match, I just sort of felt that everything was kind of reverting to type a little bit, and I was just like, this has been really enjoyable. And the Japanese will look back and sort of say they've had a great adventure, and, you know, they obviously had their really, really good results.
You're such a pessimist, Pete.
I know. Well, that's what, you know, I'm an England and Newcastle United fan, you know. That's how it kind of works. But I genuinely thought it was going to revert to type, but it didn't. And Japan hung in there with a very interesting winning goal.
It was just for me, this is one of the best days of the tournament so far, because it's in these final matches of the group stage where there can be so many twists and turns, and one goal can make all the difference. I was at the Khalifa International Stadium last night, so I'm in Doha now recording this, and as we've said, Japan ended the game 2-1 winners over Spain. But in the stadium, one of the best experiences of that game was that the stadium announcers were fully aware of what was going on in the other match. And so there were constant updates, and they kept putting on the big screens in the stadium the updated group table, but weren't actually saying the score of the other game. So when you'd see that Costa Rica had gone above Germany or whatever was happening, flip-flopping through the table, which changed several times throughout the game, everyone was then going on their phones trying to find out what the score was. I had the Ramble WhatsApp group open so that I could see what you guys were all messaging as well. It was just one of those nights, Andy, where anything could have happened. And at one stage, I think one of the biggest cheers in the stadium was when Spain and Germany were both going out.
I mean, that was an absolutely extraordinary point of it. To think that, you know, Costa Rica could have been going through after losing the first game 7-0, and vice versa for Spain. It's you can't get your head around it at all. I mean, I was doing something for Canadian television yesterday, and they said,
God, you
nice
get
and relaxed,
about, Andy, don't you?
Yeah. Don't I?
And they said, Canadian telly?
Nice
What's
and
that
relaxed.
Like?
It's just a boot what you would expect.
It's just a boot what you expect. That's what we had. Never again. He'll never get on again.
Did they F you up, Andy?
No, he's from the northeast of England, of course. He's not representative of normal Canadians. He's not representative of Brian Adams or Drake or anyone like that. But it was funny because they were like, nice and relaxed. Watch the first half. If you could record some links at half time, that would be nice. And so I was like, fine. And then I sort of come out 5 minutes into the second half, and they're like, oh yeah, Japan are winning 2-1. Are you sure? Yeah, I've been watching it. I'm definitely sure.
Well, how on earth did Japan do it? They turned the game around, which is exactly what they did when they beat Germany 2-1 as well. And it was all about the substitutions. Once again, my man Mitoma, I know I bang on about him all the time, but he is so good. And as soon as he came onto the pitch in that second half, he made a massive difference. Both him and Doan just completely changed the game in that second half, coming back from 1-0 down to score two goals in the space of 3 minutes. The stadium was electric. It's actually such an exciting game to watch. And they just had more energy and more fight in that second half, Pete. They came out with a real purpose, didn't they?
They did. They had no part of the ball. I think it was 17.7 at the end of the match. Possession, the lowest possession figure in recorded World Cup history, which is insane. But they were just so direct when they did have the ball. And it kind of, it really made Spain a little bit concerned at the back, because it was a game so much of two halves, because Japan just could not get hold of the ball, and it looked like it was going to get quite messy. And I thought it was, and I thought Spain were going to absolutely steamroll them. But second half, I do not know what was said at half time. Perhaps some rousing speech from some manga or anime, as discussed the One Piece manga anime that a lot of the footballers have been talking about in the post match. Yeah, it was very, very strange how Spain allowed Japan to get back into the game at half time. But they were just so direct, and they were so hard working, and they just thought, well, this is our last roll of the dice, and good God, we've got the legs. Good God.
They went out there and they were like, we are not going to give this up. We're coming away from here as winners. But let's talk about that goal, the goal, the controversial goal, the goal that made all the difference, because it turned out to be Japan's winner and turned out to be the goal that sent Germany out of the World Cup. was the ball over the line or not? I think the most amusing thing about the whole lot is the amount of photos I've seen on social media of just footballs next to pieces of paper, next to pieces of toilet roll, next to the edge of tiles. It's like, come on, guys, what are you trying to show us here? It's a rule. A rule is a rule, right, Andy?
Also, I don't really want to see, there's no other way of putting this, I don't want to see people's misshapen balls in their front room. I simply don't want to see that. Okay?
They're not proper ones. They haven't been fitted with microchips. They're not fully pumped up. They're just like a football they found around the back of a cupboard or something.
Exactly. Your balls aren't professional balls. They've just been stood on in your back garden. I don't want to see it.
The dogs had it. The dogs had all of it. But if you, people are complaining about it, right? If you are looking at a shot that looks like the ball has gone out and you are seeing the line of the post not being in complete line with the white line that it's supposed to be going out on, then you are watching an inaccurate, a shoddy perspective shot of that goal, because there is no camera that is exactly 90 degrees above the pitch on the goal line, because it's not fucking kickoff two on the Amiga. Like, there's like, you can't tell whether it is out or not out. I mean, where it gets a little bit strange is that we've not been actually shown anything from FIFA or the World Cup or IFAB or whoever that conclusively says that it was in. But presumably they've got ways of measuring this, surely.
But talking about what you were saying before, Jules, I just wanted to go back to that and the atmosphere created by the Japanese fans. It was absolutely astonishing. It was astonishing in the Germany game and also in the Khalifa that I went to. You know, they were some of the noisiest fans, probably the noisiest fans that I've come across. They're absolutely relentless, the Japanese fans. I know Pete's got loads of experience of going to watch J-League. Is that something that bleeds across from international football? Is Japanese domestic football atmospheric?
I would say no, not at all. I mean, they have certainly, and I've only been a couple of times to football matches there, but like, they do have singing sections and they do all the singing and the flag waving, and that is relentless. You know, they never stop singing, they never stop flag waving, but I would say that this is a whole different level. And I think I spent a good hour watching the Shibuya Scramble Crossing police trying to have some kind of semblance of control over, you know, 1,000 people trying to cross a big crossing, Oxford Circus crossing style crossing, at 6 o'clock in the morning. So you've got like commuters getting into work, and you've got, you know, drunkards just absolutely partying their heads off because they've been drinking all night, and that's, you know, that's kind of the Japan I know, the 6 a.m. boozing kind of Japan, because you know, the drinking culture and the partying culture is so fucking great. And it was so like fun watching like these kind of YouTubers filming live shots of like the Hachiko entrance to Shibuya Station, and just everyone is just absolutely off their head excited about the potential for this side. I don't even know who they're going to be playing next round. Anybody do we know who
Croatia?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a
Croatia
shame.
Croatia haven't got the legs to beat Japan, I don't
Well, they
think.
Haven't got the legs, but they've certainly got the midfield, haven't they?
Oh, I'm so rooting for Japan in that one. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You talk about that because obviously this is an alcohol-free World Cup unless you find your ways. And the, I mean,
Jules's hip flask.
You know,
have you been soaking your Moams? Jules famously takes Moams away with her on holiday because she loves Moams. Moam, what they call the little balls, the little Maltese.
The pinballs, the Moam sweets.
The pinballs, the Moam pinballs. They're just easier to transport rather than ones that are in individual wrapping. Look, and better for the environment. I'm just
listen,
saying, she
Pete,
might be soaking them in vodka, like Jamie Vardy.
There's no alcohol here. I need all the sugar I can get. Keep me energised. Okay. But yeah, I was at the stadium fairly early yesterday for the game. And I'll tell you what, I was looking at some of these Japanese fans dancing and singing and just having the time of their life. And I was thinking, how are you not drunk? Like, some of these moves, the shapes they were pulling, I was like, okay, yeah, they're having a good time. So I am delighted for them that they've got through to the round of 16. They thoroughly deserved it. But that goal, the winning goal, I think it's going to be talked about for a long time, isn't it? Let's get some of the thoughts of what some of the pundits were saying afterwards. Joe Cole, my pal, was on BeIN Sport last night, and he said, this goal cost Germany, but in 2010 against England in my last game, Frank Lampard's goal was clearly over the line, so no sympathy from me. Love that. absolutely zero sympathy from Joe. Graham Souness went a full Matt Letizia conspiracy theory mode in the post-match on ITV. Did you see that, Pete?
I did. Yeah, he's just kind of like he was very close to sort of bringing out a big corkboard with red string and pictures and stuff like that. The thing about him is, and to a lesser extent Roy Keane, is that they're known for being angry, uncompromising pundits, but they really overtake everyone else's time, I think. You know, they get wound up and they just go for it, and you just sort of think, let other people speak, please.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be all sorts of theories about this for a long time, I think. But either way, it turned out to be the winning goal, and what a moment as well. In the pre-match, Luis Enrique admitted that he'd actually considered tactically trying to finish second in the group in order to avoid Brazil and secure an easier route to the final. I mean, he got his wish, Andy.
But you know what? He could have done with your scoreboard, because he also said after the game that he didn't realise that Spain were out at one point. So clearly he didn't do his calculations that closely. You know, there was part of me that thought, yes, Germany going out probably suits them. But you know what? I think you look at the way that Japan have been one of the best coach sides in the tournament. And I think you have to give a huge amount of credit to Moriyasu, the coach, because, I mean, maybe this is partly due to the fact that Spain fell into their most monolithic of approaches. You know, it was sterile possession all day. It didn't feel like Japan were leaving their half, but it also didn't feel like they were in any danger at all. And once they were 2-1 in front, Japan got all 11 behind the ball and they defended brilliantly. Mm. Now, if you, I think you have to hand it to the coach, because if you can do that with, and all due respect to Maya Yoshida's career, he is at Schalke now, the worst team in the Bundesliga. We've talked a lot about the Bundesliga influence with Japan. They didn't look in trouble at any point, I didn't think. Like, Spain could still be playing and they wouldn't have scored, I don't think.
Yeah, I completely agree. It did feel like Japan were going to see the game out, didn't it? And it seemed crazy because, as we talked about already, Spain was so dominant in the first half. And at that point, you thought, oh, it's only going to go one way. Yeah. But yeah, what a second half performance. What a way to turn it around. And just an amazing story for Japan. Well, it's funny because when we talk about the permutations, I'd always wonder, Andy, whether the other managers and the other teams know exactly what it means in terms of the other games and how many goals are scored and what that could matter for in the end. And I think Ethan pointed out on Twitter with regards to the Germany-Costa Rica game, which finished Costa Rica 2, Germany 4. Ethan said, I can't believe Germany didn't let Costa Rica score, because had they scored one more goal, Spain would have been going out of the World Cup with Germany. That would have been an amazing end to the match.
Yeah, that was looked like it was happening at one point, didn't it? Mm. Before Germany gave it that little push at the end. I mean, Germany did everything they were meant to do on the night eventually, because, of course, they won the game. I don't think they could have reasonably expected that Spain wouldn't at least get a draw against Japan. I think everyone imagined that at the start. Clearly, Germany are paying for what happened against Japan in the first game. And it was really down to them, because they had plenty of the game. They had the chances to win it. They defended really badly, as we've been over and over again. The thing that really made me laugh about this, though, is the fact that Germany, in getting done their side of the bargain, in doing what they needed to do, hey man, it's so bloody difficult for themselves. I mean, so much of this excitement, I know, like, for obviously for you in the stadium, Jules, it was brilliant because of what Japan did, and it was so unexpected. But actually, a lot of the excitement in the evening was really generated by Germany. It was sort of superfluous excitement. It didn't really mean anything in the end, because Germany did go on to win the game, and that win didn't matter because they didn't get through. Mm. But take a bow, Manuel Neuer is all I've got to say off the back of that. For the best goalkeeper in the world, I actually saw more than one person tweet last night, Manuel Neuer is the worst goalkeeper in the world. I don't think we can endorse that in any way, shape or form. But I think that people felt moved to tweet that shows how exciting and on the edge and emotional it was.
Well, do you not think that it was kind of, if they'd have just steamrolled Costa Rica and just made it very comfortable themselves in the first half, that Japan wouldn't have felt like they had anything to play for. So it's their own fault, really. Maybe. If they'd have just gone for it, Japan wouldn't have been like, oh well, you know, destiny could fall into our hands. And it was the group of death. And it's absolutely bizarre that Germany have found themselves going out at this point. Very, very weird.
It's remarkable, isn't it? They're out in the group stages for the second World Cup in a row. Kimmich said after the game it was the worst day of his entire career.
Did you enjoy that photo of Kai Havertz receiving his Man of the Match award? I mean, I don't think it's a particularly exciting experience for them getting, you know, this Budweiser vase anyway. But...
large trophy, isn't it?
When you get your Man of the Match award, you have to face the media, and you've said that there's reasons why certain players get picked over others. But surely in a Germany side, anyone could have had that. Anyone could have had that that particular award, because everybody would want to speak to the losing German side.
So true. I mean, it's also quite bizarre that Germany are out, because they've got the best XG at the tournament. So I think we can officially call them Germany and Hove Albion.
If you want that, you can have that, Jules. You can have it, all right?
You're just obsessed with Brighton dominating this World Cup. Yeah. You've got so many players there anyway. Just give it a rest. It's already your World Cup.
It's so good. Although, on a serious note, Hansi Flick did say we need to head in a different direction with German football. The future of German football, we are going to need to train differently. Do you agree with that, Andy? What is the state of German football right now?
Well, I would ask, how are they going to do that? Because the feeling in German football this morning, if you listen to the media or if you read the newspapers, it's one of panic, actually, because they are thinking, we are hosting a tournament in 18 months. That's right, 18 months, because that's the way football is nowadays. They're hosting the Euros and they don't have time to make a revolution in terms of the team. They don't have time to change the sort of players they produce. And they've got some big holes up front, at right back particularly, where they ended up sticking Joshua Kimmich over there again. That was an absolute shambles. So he ended up going back into midfield in the second half. I mean, Hansi Flick is a great coach. He's also someone who presided over much better players when he was in charge at Bayern. So there is talent there, but it's very unevenly distributed talent. And also, being a former Bayern coach, he's got to make a tough decision in, does he bin Neuer and Müller? I mean, I think Müller might do him a favour and fall on his sword. But Manuel Neuer, he's going to be 38 when it comes to Euro 2024. And, you know, he's not covered himself in glory this tournament. I don't think he can get away from that.
Yeah, Raphael van der Vaart thinks that the main problem is in the German defence. He said Nicolas Sulla is not world class. He is the German version of Harry Maguire.
Harry Maguire's been
pretty decent for us at this tournament, to be fair.
He has, but this is van der Vaart's brand. He can't leave Maguire alone. Do you remember that little clip of him on Dutch TV where he said, I'm going to switch into English so the English journalists understand that? He's really shit.
It's good stuff. Why is he? He's got his joke though, hasn't he? It's like men of a certain age and Diane Abbott. Like, they're obsessed. They haven't got any of the jokes. It's always the comedy touchstone that they always use. And Harry Maguire, his is Diane Abbott.
It's so true, isn't it? I think he's a bit obsessed. Well, there we are. Group E. It's certainly delivered. Germany are out, despite the fact that they beat Costa Rica 4-2, and Japan and Spain are both through, despite the fact that Japan have beaten Spain on the night by 2-1. A remarkable, chaotic day in the World Cup. And we've still got more to talk about from yesterday's matches as well. We'll come on to that in a minute. But just to point out the landmark moment in that Germany game, Stephanie Frappart and her team became the first all-female refereeing lineup in a World Cup match. The assistants were Nueza Back and Karen Diaz. The first time we've seen an all-female refereeing team in a men's World Cup game, which is just a really special day, Andy.
Yeah, and you know, Stephanie Frappart has had an incredible rise in the last 3.5-4 years. She's just a great referee, quite simply. And she stands out because, you know, French refereeing has had a lot of problems in recent years. You know, the quality's not been fantastic. You go back to the World Cup before last and there weren't actually any French referees called. So just shows how well she's done.
Yeah, a historic moment. Right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the other matches yesterday between Belgium and Croatia and Canada, Morocco.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, now, Jules, look at this. You've got a fresh board. I think this is a slightly better board.
For fuck's sake. I'm going to go for Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
Why have you dug that back out? I was trying to erase that from my memory.
It's a Jules because you're in Doha at the moment and you can't hit us.
Did you swear on that?
No, that was just me now swearing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they don't generally...
For fuck's sake, on BBC One.
If anyone's going to do it on sure. Pointless, sure. It's going to be Jules, isn't it?
Oh, God. Brilliant. There we are. Right, it's now time for Betfair's popular bet builder. When you Betfair on the World Cup, you can use Betfair's handy app to place your bet builders and you'll get access to some pretty decent handouts as well. Every week throughout the tournament, we've been placing our own Ramble popular bet builders on football's biggest matches. And this weekend is no exception. We're heading towards the business end of the World Cup. It's the round of 16 and there's only one game that we could pick for today's popular bet builder, England against Senegal on Sunday. So Andy, you're up first. What are you going for?
Over 3.5 goals. I feel like England got their nose for goals against Wales. And, you know, I think Senegal can give a little bit back as well.
Okay, Pete?
I think they're not going to have enough time to get any ill discipline into either of the sides. So I think it's going to be under 4.5 cards.
Let's find out what Marcus has gone for.
England to win the match after 90 minutes. It's not going to be easy against the African champions, but I think Gareth and the gang have got enough to be victorious.
So England to win in 90 minutes. And I have gone for Marcus Rashford, Rashy boy, to score at any time in the game. A £5 bet on this popular bet builder will return £68 if we win. All that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK, exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. Terms and conditions apply. You have to be 18 or over to play. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. org. Right, let's get on to the other group's games then, between Belgium and Croatia and Canada, Morocco. Let's start with Belgium. Croatia ended a goalless draw, and Belgium, who are one of the favourites in the competition, have gone out, Pete. Dramas. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that, like, it's like, you know, a fairly anonymous Romelu Lukaku has found himself in the third match of the tournament, just being blamed for everything about Belgium's tournament performance, and from what I saw, because, you know, I was watching the other match, like, from what I saw, the chances that he missed. First off, the first one was off the post. Two attending defenders. I don't have a problem with that. Header, just a bit of a 50p, kind of off the top of the head. You know, you need it on target, but it's not great. The third chest was the only thing that I thought, well, he probably should have done better there. And I think it's really unfair that everyone's having to go at poor old Romelu. But obviously, Belgium are a side in transition, like the Welsh, like the Germans, like every fucker in this tournament. So it's kind of it's indicative of a malaise that I think everyone's kind of experiencing. And perhaps maybe some of the older players, they come off pre-season a little later than others, and they don't get going until about January. Who knows why they played so badly in this tournament?
Well, Lukaku on his own accumulated more XG in the second half against Croatia than Morocco did in the entire group stage. That's a ridiculous statistic, isn't it? You could put it this way if you're into these old trendy stats. In one half, Lukaku missed four big chances, which is twice as many as any other player has missed throughout the tournament so far. And he was absolutely livid, Andy. He broke the window of the Belgium dugout after the game in frustration.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated that at least, because I could see myself doing that and breaking my hand rather than the actual dugout. So it shows the strength of Romelu Lukaku. I felt a little sorry for him because he's clearly not fit. I think a half, like even a 80% fit Lukaku takes those chances. You know, you bear in mind how little football he's played in the last couple of months. And for it to all be piled on him, I mean, it's always been the case, really, because so many of Belgium's top players over the last decade plus have been on the turn, that it's all been on Courtois, De Bruyne and Lukaku to cover a multitude of sins in the rest of the squad. He takes one of those chances and it's a completely different discussion. Mm.
Yeah, especially that third one, Andy. I mean, it was an open goal,
God,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Andy was really defending them. They went, oh, God, yeah, I've just remembered it in my mind palace.
Oh, I mean, you can understand the frustration of the players with the way the tournament has gone for them. But I think right from the off, though, it kind of felt quite negative from Belgium, didn't it? You know,
bad vibes.
De Bruyne and his post-match interviews were saying, you know, we're too old, we're past it, we're not going to win this World Cup. It just didn't feel like they were, they were feeling themselves at all. So it's the end of the road in the World Cup for Belgium, and also the end of the road for Roberto Martinez as the manager, who decided to step down as the Belgian boss in his post-match interview. Kind of saw this one coming, but did not see the moonwalk out of the interview coming at all.
That's a lovely spot. You know, when you see something like that and you sort of go, oh, that's going to be big, that's going to be huge, but I don't know how to sort of, because I saw that and then somebody just went, moonwalk, brilliant, absolute mwah, chef's kiss, fantastic.
Do you think he should have gone down the stairs instead? I think that would have been more appropriate.
Oh.
Retreating from view.
Did his little dance that he did at the O2, Jason Derulo style.
Wow, I mean, I think we kind of expected this was something that might have happened after this tournament. But to do it in the post-match interview, to go out the way he did, Andy, were you expecting that?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's been a little bit harshly treated, because he's globally done a very good job. It's not his fault that the players have all got dead old. So, and I think people are unrealistic in, like, the idea that Belgium could get better. You know, there is a limited budget for international coaches. And I think sometimes, you know, we look at the Premier League, it's a coaches' league. You know, we've got some of the very best coaches in the world. None of those guys want to take over Belgium.
No.
Or Italy, or Germany, come to think of it.
Well, they don't want to take over any international side.
No,
it's
they
really
don't.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Well, Croatia were awarded a penalty in the 15th minute of the game, but it was overturned for offside. And the graphics showed that only the shirt sleeve was offside, because obviously we've got these fancy sort of fancy technology now to show exactly what's offside. Mike Dean was spotted trying to explain the decision on beIN Sport. He's part of their coverage over here, and I've seen a fair bit of it. The TV segment is called The Dean Machine, and Mike Dean, as I sent you all in the WhatsApp group, wears some very ill-fitting suits for this said TV segment.
Yeah.
He looks like, you know, when you've got a young child and you're taking them to like
court.
A birthday party or a christening or something, you're a court, and you put them in a suit that really doesn't fit them.
Yeah, it's a bit.
A referee in a suit just looks wrong.
It's a bit Talking Heads, David Byrne, Stop Making Sense era, sort of big boxy kind of Minecraft Roblox suit. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I think it's the colour as well. I think the colour's wearing
the
him
didn't
a little
match.
Bit.
The trousers and the jacket weren't the same shade of grey,
no,
were they?
No, he's concentrating on the branding, and he's ignored the costumery. He's concentrating on being the Dean Machine, and he's forgot about being a dream fashion boy.
Oh, the Dean Machine.
The Dean Machine. Awful.
But at least Lukaku didn't react as badly as that Mexican fan. Did any of you see this? He stabbed a TV after Mexico got knocked out of the World Cup on Wednesday. I watched this video. I actually felt very uncomfortable watching it. It was just a bit much.
You do see this from time to time, sort of blokes chinning the telly if they're watching the NFL or the soccer on the old box. But I'm always surprised how resilient the things are. They never turn off. The LED panel just kind of breaks, and there's some beautiful multicoloured kind of rainbow affectation on there on the screen. But I mean, you know, LED, you know, most of them will be LCD screens, liquid crystal displays. I want to see liquid oozing out of the television. If I'm stabbing it with a knife, I want to see a wound. I want to see a rainbow fluid coming. I want to see it bleed because it's giving me so much pain if I'm in the business of stabbing my fucking Samsung. So yeah, it's not great, is it? It's not great to see.
I think someone else could benefit from that TV. That's the thing that annoys me. There was a Marseille fan a couple of years ago who became a minor YouTube sensation in France because basically he smashed his telly in with a baseball bat every time they lost, which I think was about 17 times that season.
Basically,
so he got through like
17. You know
what I mean? Yeah.
But I guess, I hate to get serious for a point, but like, nothing's ever grey anymore. Everything's like the best thing in the world, the worst thing in the world. We've talked about this before. Andy, you talked about how there's no sense of scale for a lot of football fans. There's no sense of there'll be a tournament in 2 years, there'll be a tournament in 1 year, there'll be a match next Saturday. But the currency of Instagram and YouTube and being these people who want to be performative about their how upset they are, how much pint they throw in the air, how covered in beer they get, it's all about look at what I'm doing. I am a bigger England fan, or I'm a bigger Marseille fan, or I'm a bigger Mexican fan than you because I've stabbed my fucking telly and I'm angrier than everyone else. It's the Arsenal fan TV. It's the true Geordie. You can have money now. It's that kind of level where the angrier you get, the more clicks you get, and the more heat you get. Effectively, that you know, there's so many careers of influencers and YouTubers and stuff who have been built on just being angrier than the next person.
Basically, knobheads.
Knobheads. Always male, always knobheads.
So yeah, Belgium are out. Croatia are through despite that draw. But in the other game, what a result for Morocco. They've beaten Canada by 2-1. And Morocco become the first African nation to top their World Cup group since Nigeria in 1998. Their manager, Walid Regragui, when asked if Morocco can win the World Cup, said, "Aim for the sky. Why not dream about winning that trophy?" I mean, this is an amazing story, Andy, and they've probably been one of the surprise packages of the tournament.
They have, and it's been a big surprise to me, not because they haven't got talent, because they have, but they've got so many out-of-nick players. Nziri, who scored the second goal, he's not had a great season, a severe at all. He's been in and out of the team. We all know about Ziyech at Chelsea. He can do it on his day, but he's not really a vital part of their 11. And, you know, some Chelsea fans, I think, would have quite happily seen him go back to Ajax. And, you know, you look at Naya Fagao, who's barely played since he's arrived at West Ham because of his injury. So, and he scored the first own goal of the World Cup as well, which I thought was a bit of a remarkable thing.
So, and you know what? So you know what, Andy? That that own goal means that he's actually joint top scorer for Canada at World Cups along with Alfonso Davies now.
That's not me.
Well
don't like
done
that.
Him.
It's not fair, don't is like it? That. That's not fair.
No. How do we sort of see Canada's sort of tournament? I mean, obviously, they've not been in it for a very long time. And it has been a massive disappointment. But in 4 years' time, this generation will have grown up and they'll probably be like 10 times, a million times better than they are now. So,
and presumably, when you get your best player who's a left back, and, you know, don't mean to make the Bayern comparison, but Austria have been there with David Alaba. Presumably, by the time we get to 2026, Alfonso Davies will be playing centre forward because he'll get pushed further and further forward where he can properly influence the game. They'll fully bail him and stick him in the centre forward position.
Yeah.
And obviously, we have to mention the absolute mad goalkeeping in this game as well. It wasn't a good day to be a goalkeeper, was it, Pete? The goalies was pretty much at fault for every single goal. It was a bit embarrassing.
They were all over the place. But, I mean, he got them there. Like, he's everyone knows who that man is because he's got a very interesting kind of backstory and how he found his way into Canada back in the day. And he he's this really larger-than-life character. Born in the former Yugoslavia, of course, and he's just a real character for me, and that extends to his goalkeeping. So if you take the rough, you got to take the rough with the smooth with that guy. Like, he got you there. Enjoy him passing the ball to the opposition.
Yeah, you know what? I think Canada have been fun. They've been a fun team to watch. They've been entertaining in the tournament. They got their goal. Mm. They got their Alfonso Davies goal. And as you say, looking ahead to when the tournament is on home soil in 4 years' time, I think that they'll have gained some valuable experience at this level of world football, I think, to take into that tournament. So I think that's what they can leave with. It'll be exciting to see how Morocco get on in the next stages of the competition. Let's see how they do. And then tonight, we've got loads more football to look forward to as well. So it's the final group stage games. We've got South Korea taking on Portugal and Ghana against Uruguay. We've got Serbia versus Switzerland and Cameroon versus Brazil in the two late games. Look, I think the highlight of these matches has to be that Ghana-Uruguay rematch. It's a repeat of the controversial quarterfinal in 2010. Suarez, reckon there might be a few boos in the stadium tonight from the Ghana fans?
It's just so incredibly unapologetic as well. And what I particularly enjoyed is in the press conference, even though he hates speaking English, he was really unapologetic in English. Now, a lot of these players during the World Cup, they've said, I'm in international duty. I'm only going to respond in my native language. Mm. And Suarez was a great candidate for that. And he's like, no, hang about. How can I shithouse people in the widest way possible? And he's taking the bull by the horns here. And I think you have to respect it.
I do. I fully respect that he's just like, well, yeah, I did it and it worked. So screw you all.
Oh, lordy. Imagine if he sort of learned, is it Akan in Ghana? That's their big one. He learned it in that. Oh, God, you are a turd, sir. You are the worst.
Oh, it'll be interesting. And it would be kind of nice, wouldn't it, if Ghana managed to get the win tonight, wouldn't that's lovely Chrissy Hughton side.
Every single group has got something for the international person who sort of sits in the middle of everything, I would say. You know, it doesn't matter if you are English or French or Japanese. Like, this is this match has got everything. It's got revenge, it's got pathos, it's got anger, it's got everything. And I hope Ghana absolutely put Uruguay in the bin.
And you know what else it's got, Pete? It's got a little Tariq Lamptey.
It has got a little Tariq Lamptey. He didn't play very well in the last match, if I remember rightly, though, Jules.
The Brightonification of the World Cup.
It's just endless.
Speaking of Ghana, a member of the Ghanaian parliament this week, this is quite sensational, was actually recorded taking the piss out of Harry Maguire. I mean, how is this an ongoing theme? We had it earlier from Raphael van der Vaart, and now we've got it from a member of the Ghanaian parliament who has taken Harry Maguire into Parliament as a conversational talking point. Have a little listen.
Manchester United went and bought him. He became the biggest threat at the centre of Manchester United's defence, tackling Manchester players and giving assists to opponents. Mr. Speaker, when even the opponents fail to score, Maguire will score for them. Mr. Speaker, you remember in this country we also had an economic Maguire.
Economic Maguire.
That's
like
a great
that.
Phrase.
I mean, how does that kind of manifest itself? Like, really towering headers, the odd maraud upfield? I don't know how that applies to the markets in Ghana, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not so sure myself, but what a wonderful clip. Well, enjoy the games tonight. That is all from us today. We're going to be back to review that tasty encounter between Ghana and Uruguay tomorrow, plus all the best action from the final day of the group stages. We'll wait to see who's going to join Portugal and Brazil in completing the lineup for the knockout stages. And speaking of Portugal, Andy mentioned it already. You can catch our trip to Lusail Stadium when we watch Portugal take on Uruguay earlier on this week. We had a lot of fun. I got very annoyed at a lot of people who just seemed to be having miniature little like moments. Anytime Ronaldo touched the ball, I was like, can you shut
calm
up?
The hell down.
And I was quite vocal about it. I was a little bit of a grandma, I'm not going
to
lie.
That was not the only thing that annoyed you, was it? But you'll have to listen to find out.
No, it wasn't.
She stabbed her telly.
Have a little listen.
She brought a little 30-inch telly and stabbed it.
Why do you think Andy left Doha? He couldn't handle it anymore. Being around me. Got too angry.
The Moan monster's on the prowl.
It's in your Ramble feed this morning, so do check it out. And as ever, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode from us all. Andy, Pete, have a good day. I'm off out to enjoy some more World Cup football. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Bye-bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.